Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, we are rolling through the program. The Dodgers have won their first World Series title since 1988. For people out there who want to have some positive vibes here as we begin the discussion, I think you have some audio clips for us, Danny G.
Yeah, let's start with the Rays getting off to their hot start in the first inning.
Here's one into right. That ball will carry back at the wall. It is gone. A Rosarena has put Tampa Bay on top as he flicks one into the seats and right onto the tarp. And it's 1-0 Tampa Bay as he has his 10th postseason home run.
All right, from there, things got better for the Dodgers.
Here's a play at the plate. Throw home. Too late. Dodgers lead. Betts scores.
The Dodgers would go on and win the game 3-1. And you thought in the immediate aftermath of that, I saw the videos of the fireworks going off in L.A., all of the excitement. You thought, oh, well, that's going to be the story. The Dodgers win their first World Series title in 32 years. Everybody can enjoy it. But then the Justin Turner news came out, and it got stranger and stranger from that perspective. So, for those of you just waking up with us, maybe some of you went to sleep before this game was decided, the biggest storyline by far, I believe, in the world of sports as you wake up on Wednesday morning is going to be a strange situation. Justin Turner, the red-bearded third baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, was pulled during the eighth inning because he tested positive for COVID, and then he went on the field to celebrate with his teammates afterwards. And here are some details, and you can go watch this video at outkick.com. Again, you go to outkick.com, you can see the video of Justin Turner celebrating on the field with his teammates. Ken Rosenthal reported on the field. My understanding from talking to various people is that he was told or asked not to go on the field. He insisted upon it. The Dodgers insisted upon it. And that is why he was out there. And at one point, he did not have his mask off. He did have his mask off. He was mostly masked, but there was one point in the picture where he did have it off. He also had the mask off while he held up the championship trophy and also kissed his wife for photos. And what's complicated, and again, this is according to Ken Rosenthal, Turner got his first result back in the second inning. That was the result from Monday's test. Upon being positive, his test from earlier in the day, that is Tuesday's test, was expedited. And when it came back positive, he was removed from the game. So here's my question for you. Why isn't every test always expedited? If you can get the result faster, why wouldn't you get the result faster? And why would Major League Baseball testing results ever return during the course of a baseball game for any reason? And so Justin Turner on the field, kissing his wife, holding the trophy, posing for photos without a mask. It's going to be a field day for the Corona Bros on social media who are going to lose their minds. This is also a messy situation for Major League Baseball. We'll talk about all these complexities in a sec, but I put up a poll question. Do you have a problem with Justin Turner testing positive for COVID and then celebrating on the field with his teammates after the positive test? Already in the first 45 minutes this has been up, 13,000 of you have voted. 71% of you are saying you do not have an issue with Justin Turner testing positive. So this is pretty fascinating. 71% of you say you have no problem. 29% of you say you have a problem. Now, this is part of the bigger issue with COVID as it pertains to the world of sports. All of it is illogical on some level. Let me give you an example. The city of Los Angeles, you cannot play a baseball game in Dodger Stadium with a crowd present. But you can get in your car in LA, drive to the airport, get on an airplane, sit in close proximity in an enclosed area with 100 or more people for 3 hours or so and fly to Texas, whereupon you can step off the airplane, go get a car, Uber, taxi cab, whatever it is, go to your hotel, go buy a ticket, and go watch the Dodgers in person in Dallas and celebrate with your friends and family when they win. That makes zero sense, okay? Regardless of what your perspective is on COVID, it is infinitely safer if you are a Dodger fan for you to get in the car and drive to Dodger Stadium and watch a game there than it is to drive to LAX, get on an airplane, fly to Texas, stay in a hotel, go to the game in Texas, celebrate with your friends and family, get back on a plane, fly all the way back to LA, and be able to go back to your life in LA after that. Does anybody else not think that, Danny G, is that crazy? You're a diehard Dodger fan. Is it not insane that if you had had the money and the resources and the time and the ticket, that you could go get on a plane and fly to Texas and watch the Dodgers in person, but you couldn't get in your car and drive? I believe you're in Pasadena, if I'm not mistaken, a not too bad of a drive from your house to Dodger Stadium and watch the Dodgers play in person there.
It is just as dumb as telling me that I will be safe during Thanksgiving as long as I put my mask on in between bites. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I was listening to the full coverage on AM 570 LA Sports yesterday. They had callers from the airport celebrating. And the host was joking for a moment saying, well, you have your Dodgers mask on, right? And he's like, oh, I'll put it back on right after I get off the phone with you. They also pointed out the hypocrisy and how stupid all of this is.
I think if you have a functional brain at this point, you have to recognize how stupid our response to COVID has been. And sports is illuminating that stupidity with examples like these. Dub, you've continued to travel a lot. I've been to three. Look, I went to two NFL games and I went to a college football game this past weekend. I'm not afraid of COVID. And I think there are a lot of Dodger fans. I mean, the entire stadium was basically filled with Dodger fans in that game celebrating. And many of those people likely traveled from California. Is that not insane that that would be allowed?
I mean, it's total insanity. I think people are smart enough to make, you know, decisions.
Logical, rational decisions.
As we've clearly seen by the number of Dodger fans that were in Arlington throughout this entire World Series. So I'm in total agreement with you, Danny G. I'm in total agreement with you. I think... Is there really a mask mandate on Thanksgiving dinner in California?
The state of California has suggested that no one eat indoors for Thanksgiving. And everyone's be separated by 6 feet for your Thanksgiving dinner.
Are you allowed to skateboard now at least?
No.
I've said this for a while. I would have lost my mind a long time ago if I lived in California and I was dealing with those restrictions. And frankly, in my neighborhood, there are a bunch of people that have moved from California in the last few months. They were like, I'm fed up with the taxes. I'm fed up with the nanny state. I'm fed up with the fact that my kids can't go to school. And so they just up and moved. They moved to the state of Tennessee. They moved to the state of Texas. They moved to the state of Florida. People are fleeing New York and California because this COVID thing has finally broken them. They might have been able to put up with things, but they're like, I'm not spending another 8 months living like this until this vaccine gets widely distributed and my kids can go back to school. We're not doing that. And I think this Justin Turner on the field issue, ties in with so many different levels of absurdity here. Let me just follow through my logic if you can, okay? It's not safe for Dodger fans to watch the Dodgers play in Dodger Stadium because of COVID. But it is safe for Dodger fans to get on airplanes, fly all the way to Texas, live their lives in Texas, go to the games there, then get on airplanes and fly all the way back to LA. That's completely illogical. It would be much safer for Major League Baseball to have played this series in Tampa, where everybody could have lived normally because they're in Florida, and in LA, and made the Dodgers the only people and the Rays who were actually traveling, as opposed to the thousands of people who decided to travel to Texas to watch this series, okay? That would be logical. It's also not logical for Major League Baseball to be testing players with a day lag time between tests and getting results during games. I'm sorry, that's what put this entire process into play. Supposedly, Turner found out in the second inning that his first COVID test was positive. I don't even know if they told him. And then they were able to expedite his second COVID test and find out in the eighth inning that that one was positive. Well, why isn't every test expedited? And if you are testing, what's the point of testing and getting results during games? It's totally illogical. But if masks work, why can't Justin Turner go on the field wearing a mask in close proximity to his teammates and not worry about spreading the virus when he is not close and he's social distancing by and large for substantial periods of time? So we have so many different contradictory things going on that if you are a logical person like me, it's impossible to follow all of the rules in place. So much of all of this is total bunk. It's crap. It's cosmetic theater, people. You can't stop a virus from spreading. It's impossible. What we are doing is just trying to convince ourselves that we are making a difference, when in reality, I don't think we're making much of a difference because the virus mostly spreads in close quarters at home. And unless you are an insane corona bro, most of us are not sitting around at home with their masks on all day. Although I know some of you do see all these losers driving around in cars by themselves with masks on. Inevitably, they're listening to ESPN on the radio because they're not man enough to listen to Fox Sports Radio if they're wearing masks driving around in cars by themselves. But all of this is illogical. None of it makes sense. Eddie Garcia, I just ran through a bunch of absurdities. I'll give you another one. In my hometown of Nashville right now, they stop allowing people to be in bars and restaurants at 11. What sense does that make at all? Is COVID like a vampire and only spreads after midnight? I swear to you, I can't even come up with the logic of why bars in my town, and I own one, are allowed to be open till 11, but only until 11. Does it somehow magically become more dangerous after 11? All of this is crap. It doesn't make logical sense. Eddie, does any of this make sense to you? There's 12,000 Dodger fans who got on airplanes and flew to Texas to watch the Dodgers, but 12,000 people can't drive to Chavez Ravine and watch the Dodgers in person in LA?
It's pretty comical, and I don't know if Roberto and Danny saw this, but in the Dodger Stadium parking lot, they set up basically like drive-in movie theater screens. And so they want all the people to stay in their car and, like, you know, honk your horn and flash your lights. But when the Dodgers won, they all got out of their cars and started running around and hugging each other and celebrating. Yeah. And I was just picturing people losing their mind. They're getting out of the cars. They're getting out of the cars.
I mean, I watched Joe Biden. Did you guys see the video of Joe Biden's rally in Georgia yesterday?
No.
It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. That he had a rally, in quotation marks, in Georgia with probably 20 people present. They drew circles around chairs to socially distance them. And I watched it and I thought, this is such a patently absurd example of cosmetic theater. And if you don't understand what I mean about cosmetic theater, we are selling the idea that what we do makes a difference, when in reality, the virus is going to do whatever the virus is going to do. Like, what we are doing is not substantially changing the way the virus is spreading. The only way we're going to stop the virus from spreading is by the virus becoming so commonplace that it doesn't spread as often or as much, which is a herd immunity strategy, or we are going to get a vaccine, which is the logical extension of herd immunity. A vaccine just exposes everybody all at once in a low dose to COVID so that it doesn't spread anymore. Like, either that's the only way the virus is ending, other than just saying, oh, nobody's ever going outside again and we're all going to die of starvation. I am just so fired up over the stupidity of all of this. And I think the vast majority of Americans are now with me. Certainly the vast majority of American sports fans. There was data that came out that said American sports fans are ready to go back to the stadium. They're like me. I'm ready to go back to a stadium. We had an open tailgate event at the Alabama-Tennessee game. If you disagree with me, and you're not ready to do that, guess what? You don't have to. You can be a hermit. You don't ever have to leave your house again for the rest of your life. But for the rest of us, the idea that you can get on an airplane in Los Angeles and fly to Texas and watch the Dodgers win the World Series, but you can't watch it in Dodger Stadium? What kind of insane nanny state are we living in now? I'm just fed up with it. And I'm fed up with playing all these stupid cosmetic theater games. I'm going to live my life. I'm having a Halloween party on Friday. My kids are going trick-or-treating. I'm going to have Thanksgiving dinner and not wear a mask between bites of turkey. And if I end up dying, guess what? That's how everybody's story ends. I hate to break it to you. On this Wednesday morning when many of you are celebrating a Dodger World Series championship, but we're all going to die.
What?
Yeah. Wait, I'm what? Not immortal. I wish I was. I wish I was never going to die. I wish I was going to live forever. But we're all going to die. You either got to get busy living or you got to get busy dying. And it feels to me like a lot of people are under the illusion that they're never going to die. There's risk in life. It's time to live.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Shannon Spake, you're walking into the Lions' Den this morning. Do you know what the big story is? I know the Dodgers won. I know you know the Dodgers won. But have you seen the Justin Turner news?
Yeah. We were just talking. I was just talking to Danny about that. What, I mean, the world that we're living in right now, right, Clay? What a crazy place that a guy can't go out and celebrate with his team, and the fact that that's like sort of the overarching story this morning instead of the fact that they won the World Series.
For the first time in 32 years, I think the number one story is going to be Justin Turner went on the first of all, the Major League Baseball even having a system in which you can get results in the game for the test seems like a pretty big flaw. And we can't say at this point, it's not like it's the first game of the season. They've had an entire year season now of baseball to get this testing system sufficient. And now they don't even have that many guys to actually test, whatever it is, 100 total you know, probably way less than that, whatever the rosters are, 28, I think, whatever they were for the World Series, and then the support staff around them. I can't imagine it's more than 50 or so people that they are testing for each team, meaning they're only having to do like 100 tests at this point. It's not like there's all 30 Major League Baseball teams that they're constantly testing. Like, this seems like they're at the home stretch. It should have been super easy to get this testing done.
Yeah, and I don't know much about the testing policy in Major League Baseball. Obviously, I know a lot more about the NFL right now and NASCAR, obviously, what they're doing. But I just find it strange that like they find out during the game. And listen, I've seen a lot of false positives. I have friends that have tested false positive. I mean, obviously, it's happened in the NFL. So if that was it, then obviously that's what we're going to be talking about. But I just find it strange that they find out mid-game about a positive test and not before the game, or why do they test on game day if they've already tested the day? It's just kind of, I don't know, there's a lot to sort of peel back the layers of this story.
How lucky is Major League Baseball that the Dodgers won game six? Because can you imagine if it was tied up 3-3 and the storyline was Justin Turner tested positive? I think they'd have to suspend game seven for a week or more.
I don't know how they would deal with that. Again, like, what if it was a false positive, right? Could he then get the two consecutive negative tests? And I think I heard you this morning, did he already take two positives? Like,
there were two
definitely positive?
Yeah, so he's had two positive tests. That doesn't mean that he couldn't have had two false positive tests, right? But he's had at least, unlike, say, Nick Saban, who tested false positive and then had five additional tests that were more accurate and determined that he had never had the virus. Justin Turner has had, at least according to this report, two different false positives.
Two different positives. Then they would have definitely had to suspend game seven, right? Because everybody in that clubhouse would have been around him, and they would have had to test everybody, just like what we've seen with the NFL, right? Some games having to be pushed back days until everybody that was around them. And I don't know, are they wearing sort of the distance monitors that the NFL is wearing? I don't know the process with Major League Baseball as much as I do with NFL.
All right, you are married, you have two children. If your husband had been on the LA Dodgers, Justin Turner's wife was on the field, they kissed, she knew he was positive, they kissed for their photo with the World Series trophy.
So crazy we're having this conversation.
Would you
like,
have kissed your husband if he were positive for COVID? It could have been a false positive, and you knew how much it meant to him to win the World Series trophy on the field.
I mean, it just depends. Have I seen my husband like in days prior to this?
I think the families, you guys can look this up, but I think the families have been able to be, I'm not sure if it's the full families, but I think the spouses and wives and girlfriends, whatever, have been able to be with the players for the past several days.
Maybe even the past several weeks. Yeah, she's probably like, if you have it, I already have it anyways.
That's probably what she's thinking on some level.
And I think that's what most people would think, right? I mean, I do know people who are like travel with NFL and are super safe when they get back and they're around their families. But I think that if you're around them and like you're like, okay, well, we probably already all have it anyways. I think that that's probably what she was thinking.
So would you have kissed your husband?
I don't know. It depends on if he was nice to me that day, Clay. It all depends.
That's actually the perfect answer. So what I said is we're having a Halloween party on Friday. We're doing our normal Halloween party that we have done for several years. It seems to me there is a desperate desire for many people out there to get back to normal. If you do not want to go to a party, then you certainly don't have to do it. I did a tailgate event for the Alabama-Tennessee game. We had a lot of pictures. I answered questions. I signed some books. Like, I am trying to live my life as normal. I don't plan. I got tested Wednesday at the White House. I was negative.
Mm-hmm.
I heard
you went to the White House. Yeah. I've seen some of those pictures.
Yeah, I've seen some of those pictures. So we'll get to that maybe in a sec. But I have, I previously have talked about on the radio show that early on in the pandemic, I think it was like June, relatively speaking, there was drive-through testing. And I still think they have drive-through testing, if I'm not mistaken, in Tennessee. And I was like, I want to know what one of these tests is like. So I went and got tested. I have tested negative twice. Now, there are months between them. One in June, I believe it was. one in October. I have no plans to ever get tested for COVID again for the rest of my life. If I feel sick for any reason, I'll stay at home and hopefully get better. Whenever there's a vaccine, I'll go get the vaccine. I get a flu shot every year because I travel a decent amount and I come into contact a lot of times with more people than your average person would, and I don't want to get the flipping flu. And so that's my plan for the fall going into winter. And all of those things are personal decisions. But I also said, if someone knew they had COVID, I wouldn't want them to come to my Halloween party. So I can understand some people being like, yeah, he probably shouldn't be on the field since he thinks that he has COVID. So I can see both sides of this argument. And about 71% of my crew says they have no problem with over 20,000 people voting. 71% say they have no problem with him on the field. 29% say they do. And by the way, he also played almost an entire baseball game already. So what is 5 or 10 minutes on the baseball field going to do to increase the risk, given the fact that he played all the way through the eighth inning already?
I gotta think like those players again, same thing, right? We've been around you the last, you know, months and months and months. You've been in the clubhouse. You've been around us. We've been eating together. We've been doing this together. We've been doing that together. Like, you got to think like, yeah, I don't know. What's one more second, right? What's 5 more minutes as you come onto the field? But listen, Clay, I am with you. I would totally understand if somebody was like, no, right? If someone did not feel comfortable with that, I 100% support that, because I'm just like you. I don't want someone who knows that they have it. Like, that's the biggest thing. I get tested every single week, right?
Yeah.
And so the biggest thing for me is that, like, I don't want to get somebody else sick. That's why I wear my masks. That's why when I'm in my meetings with everybody, I wear my masks. I do all the things that I need to do so that if in fact I were to come in contact with it, I wouldn't get someone
sick. How does your testing work?
I actually have like a doctor who I Zoom with. And so I do it at home once a week, every Monday morning, take my test and send it in. And so, yeah.
Oh, so you take the test on Monday and then you don't take another test. It's just every Monday after you're back from wherever you go. Yeah.
Every week I get tested, yes.
Okay, so you this week are going to be back down near where you grew up in South Florida. You grew up a Dolphins fan. Tua's first game back. I believe there are going to be Dolphin fans present there, right?
Yes.
And have you been?
I'm really excited about this storyline, yeah.
Yeah, I know you were in Pittsburgh. How many different stadiums have you been in with crowds present now?
Pittsburgh, I was there. That was great. Last week at Houston, there was actually, so it's what's interesting is that there's more fans at these stadiums for the away team. Like last week in Houston, that place was filled with Packer fans.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because local folks are selling their tickets for, you know, whatever, and they're having, I mean, it was all Packer fans last week, all Packer fans.
Yeah, well, they can't watch. That's another great example. Like in Wisconsin, they can't watch the Packers play in person. But they can get on planes in Milwaukee and fly to Texas and watch them play in Houston, which makes no sense.
Yeah, so it was great. Last week was great. Obviously, the Houston Texans, it was a rough game for them. I was on the sideline and just watching J.J. Watt come over every single time. Just, I mean, like, he looked like the Hulk, right? You know how angry the Hulk is?
Yes.
When he, like, is in his Hulk mode, and he's this massive human being, and every time he would come off the field, I just, like, that's the only vision I could see. This weekend, obviously, with Miami, it's very exciting. I got to interview Jason Taylor when he received his Hall of Fame ring on the sidelines at Miami. It just happened to be scheduled that game. And for someone who grew up a Dolphin fan and someone who, you know, grew up drinking beers in the stadium when I was in college and watching the Dolphins play, to then be on the field with Jason Taylor right after he, you know, gets his Hall of Fame ring, interviewing him live on Fox Sports, it was probably like one of the highlights of my career for sure. So this week, obviously, Tua, I'm a huge Fitzpatrick fan. I've covered him in a couple of different teams now, and I'm really bummed for him. And I do hope Tua goes out there and does well, because if he doesn't, I think there will be talks about why they made the change. But I'm really excited to see Tua. I think he's a great guy. I've reached out to Nick Saban to try to get some quotes from him about his start and how close they still are and how he handled his rehab and all of that stuff. So I'm going to try to get that in the broadcast as well.
Okay, so what do you expect? I mean, I've met Tua. I know his family. I mean, he is he's just a fantastic kid. He met my 10-year-old I mean, it was great to spend time around them. I am rooting for him. But it seems like Ryan Fitzpatrick, look, I mean, the Dolphins are 3-3. The Patriots finally stink. That division may be there for the taking. And they're dropping Tua in a pretty tough game against one of the NFL's best defenses so far this year.
Aaron Donald, hello?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not exactly an easy way that they're giving him an easy opponent to start with.
No, I mean, welcome to the NFL. Aaron Donald, in your very first start, you have to go against that dude, right? I mean, he's just a beast. And, yeah, I think it's going to be – I don't know why they made the decision. I mean, I'm going to read into that, and we'll obviously get to talk to coaches and get to talk to I probably won't get to talk to Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I think he's been really honest about his feelings about this change, which I think is refreshing to hear it. But I think the biggest thing will be that relationship. You know, I saw the Daniel Jones thing when Eli Manning got benched and how that relationship kind of went down. Obviously the Nick Foles and what happened at Chicago with Mitchell Trubisky. I saw how that went down, and it really all depends on how the other guy handles it. I think when Eli handled it the way that he did, everything was okay. I think when, you know, Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles have been friends and they work together, you know, in the preseason that we had, I think that's how it works, right? That's how there's not more stories being told. It's how that other guy handles it. So we'll see.
Can you come back for one more segment with us? I got a couple more for you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Edwards, strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Shannon, you cover NASCAR. What in the world's going on down in Texas?
Rain, lots of rain. I mean, it's like this misty fog. It's like 37 degrees. Everyone is freaking out. Those poor drivers have been stuck at the track since Sunday morning when they arrived. They tried to get the races several times, sent the air dryers, the air tightens, everything. And it just doesn't look like we're going to get the race in until Thursday. And it's a problem. I was telling you, Clay, is because we have two more races left after Texas. So what Texas was supposed to be on Sunday, we have Martinsville, and then we have the final race of Phoenix. So Martinsville is actually the last cutoff race for those guys to figure out who's going to be the championship for going to Phoenix. This pushes everybody back. The only driver that's locked in right now is the 2018 champion, Joey Logano, because he won at Kansas. But those guys, I mean, and listen, these are like, drivers are used to like going all the time, and they are stuck. They can't fly home because it's too long of a ride in case something were to happen and they could get on the track. It's just madness right now.
What are you doing for Halloween? You're going to be on the road this weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, what are your kids doing? Are they going trick-or-treating? What are their costumes?
Yeah, I think they're going to do something in the neighborhood. So my one son, he has a costume where it's like this large cape, and he's and his head actually pokes through, like, the middle of the cape. So it looks like there's this huge man holding his head. Does that like, can you envision that?
Yes.
Okay. And then my other son is Ghostface from The Scream.
Oh, yeah,
I told
you,
my kids are, like, crazy, right? They love, like, horror stuff. So, yeah, so that's what they're going as. I'll be in Miami with my crew. We'll be down there somewhere doing something, which I'm excited about. I did tell Danny G, I'm excited you're having Hugh Freeze on. He's a buddy of mine. I texted him this morning and told him that we're going on back-to-back on Outkick. He actually let me come into his locker room pregame at the Sugar Bowl one year when they played Oklahoma State. So I got to hear the locker room pregame speech as, like, the national anthem's going on outside and all the fans are outside at the Sugar Bowl, like, ready for these, you know, football players to run out. It was one of the coolest moments of my career to kind of be embedded with those guys before that game.
Yeah, that's no doubt. I mean, they absolutely crushed Oklahoma State, if I remember correctly,
yeah,
in that Sugar Bowl game. What do you think Fox would say if you showed up to work on Sunday dressed up for Halloween?
I think they'd be like, maybe like, you know, you can do it maybe once, but then get back in your regular clothes.
The cheerleaders, they would always have the Halloween costume cheerleaders. And like on Friday, we're going to be in Halloween costumes on Fox Bet Live, which we have done. And by the way, Halloween is Saturday, and it's the first full moon on a Halloween since 1944, which is pretty wild. So that overlap. And the last thing I was going to ask you, what scary movie would you suggest? I know you and your family are big scary movie people. What, for people out there, as we roll closer and closer to Halloween, just a couple of days away, what would you suggest for a family for a scary movie to watch?
For a family?
Yeah, I don't mean like a three-year-old, but, you know, like, you know, somebody who has got, you know, 10 or 12-year-old, something like that.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a long time since I've watched any scary movies. I don't know, Blair Witch Project was really scary, right?
That was
like,
pretty scary.
I remember, yeah, and it probably would be scary for kids, but then again, they're so, like, they're so much smarter than we were, you know, at their age. Like, they see through all of this stuff. I honestly have not watched a scary movie in a really long time. I know that you said you like the, is it Saw? What's one that you like?
No, I grew up watching Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, like everybody else around our age. But I think the most entertaining are the first few Scream movies because they're sort of, you know, satires of the 1980s horror movies that we all grew up with. So I think that is pretty fascinating.
I get really stressed out in, like, my anxiety, like, peaks during these movies, and I just don't like it. I like The Crow, but there's some, like, racy stuff in there. I did like that movie a lot when I was younger. And there was one movie called Witchboard. Have you ever seen this? It was with Tawny Katan, the girl who, like, was all
the
over the car.
Video.
The White Snake video. Yeah. So it was her. She was in this movie, and it was about the Ouija board. And I guess, like, a spirit came through the Ouija board. And I remember that that movie freaked me out for a really long time. So maybe that would be, like, an old-school classic someone could go back and watch. Plus, if there's a hot chick in it, so.
That helps. That helps for sure.
Yeah.
Shannon Spake, enjoy Tua's game. We'll talk to you next week because I'm curious how that will go. And have a good time down in Miami.
Thank you. Enjoy Halloween, Clay.
Will do. All right. When we come back to close out the third hour of the show, we are scheduled to be joined by the undefeated head football coach of Liberty University, Hugh Freeze, formerly of Ole Miss. That'll be next, an OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.